This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good night, everybody. This is Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is November the 20th in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got a great show for you tonight. It's the menstrual cycle roller coaster in the context of those with ADD. This is a part of a three-part series that we are doing with Zoe Kessler. The first aired a couple weeks ago, and basically it was the impact of ADHD on puberty. Today is the menstrual cycle roller coaster, and the next one is Pause for Menopause. The focus of these series of shows is really to take a look at the impact of ADHD on female in different times of their life. I know I am not an expert on this, but we've got a great expert in Zoe Kessler on this. This was actually kind of inspired years ago when I had interviewed Dr. Patricia Quinn on the difference on how ADHD manifests between women and boys, and it was a very profound interview for me, lots of insights, and realized that it's a very different experience leading to these shows, because I think it's a different experience at different points of a female's life. So I think this is a great show for females, but I think it's actually a really good show for the men out there. Provide some really good insight and to understand kind of a little bit of what's going on. We're hot off the 2013 CHAD conference. For everybody that we saw out there, it was great to see you. We'll look forward to catching you again next year. Not a lot of announcements other than that. This show, for consistency, was actually recorded. All three of them were done at one time so that we wouldn't overlap and do some stuff. So we're going to run it in its entirety right now. So basically, kick back, and we hope you enjoy the show. We'll kick off with Zoe's bio. So here we go.
Zoe Kessler is an award-winning author of the newly released ADHD According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus, and Finding Your Keys, printed by New Harbinger Publications in 2013. She's also a journalist, a speaker, and a noted authority on women and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. She's worked on a wide variety of organizations, and her presentations are described as exhilarating, motivating, and entertaining. She's a top blogger at psychcentral.com. Her blog, ADHD From A to Zoe, has garnered loyal readership around the globe. She's a frequent contributor to Attitude Magazine, and has created radio documentaries, video, and stand-up comedy about women living with ADHD. She writes a guest blog and has been interviewed on international radio and has been featured in magazine articles, documentaries, and books on the topic of women and ADHD. To learn more about Zoe, go to www.zoekessler.com, and that's spelled Zoekessler.com. With that, Zoe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for inviting me. This is fantastic.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Everybody, this is we have a great show lined up today. Tonight's topic is ADHD, the menstrual cycle roller coaster. And I'm real excited about this. We've done a show with you before. We're actually kind of going through the life cycle of a woman. And I tell you, I'm learning so much about it. And it's interesting to me because everybody out there, I have no clue what it's like to be a woman. I'm useless when it comes to advice, other than I'll share what I've learned from other experts on the topic. But Zoe is she's an expert on the topic with ADHD and have lived through it. So I'm excited. We have some real good things to talk about in this particular space. When it comes to, I guess, let's talk about your experience with your first menstrual cycle. Can you tell us about that story?
Oh, man. My first menstrual cycle, I think I'm a little too old to remember that. But I do remember that I do remember in general, the general feeling around it, which was that I was already, as a girl who grew up with ADHD and already felt like I just couldn't get it right. I couldn't even be a girl right, you know. I couldn't. Okay, 1 year, my mom, I told her, don't buy me lace, okay? I'm a tomboy. Don't buy me any lace. So I got a sweater with lace on it, and I'm thinking, what? What's the deal? So now I'm walking to school, and I'm sorry, but it's like wearing a sleeping bag between your legs, okay? Back in the day when women had periods, the way we dealt with them was quite a bit different than it is now. So every single day of my life as a girl with undiagnosed ADHD, I had to manage things like not interrupting in the classroom, because early in my school career, I was the class clown and ended up spending most of my school career out in the hall. So now in the long list of things that I had to manage and had no clue how to manage was not blurting out in class, trying to wear the right clothes because I didn't really fit in with the cool kids. And now I'm trying to, I don't know how graphic I really want to get here, but back in the day, the sort of the tools of the menstrual time of the month were pretty old-fashioned and pretty scary. And so now I'm feeling awkward in my...
I think you summed it up. It's like wearing a sleeping bag between your legs. I mean, there were just nothing but pads.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it slipped. It slid. Are you going to bleed? Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. So you're already feeling insecure. You know, maybe your face breaks out and you're sitting in class with these Coke bottle, you know, glasses and no boobs. And, you know, you're just what am I doing here? Yeah, it was horrible. It was just awful. And it was like that, you know, every month on the month. And not to mention the physical pain, not to mention the irritability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
So I think if I recall correctly, before we got the show, you told me briefly of a story when you were traveling in Europe. Do you recall that?
Oh, yeah, that was awful. And again, I mean, I wasn't diagnosed with ADHD, as I say in my book. I just released a book called ADHD According to Zoe, and one of the things I talk about is I wasn't diagnosed until I was 47. So here I am as a young woman. It was 1987. I guess I must have been sort of late 20s, and I go on this trip to Europe. And, of course, I've got time management problems. I've got, you know, I mean, my social skills are, how shall we say, less than wonderful. And I still carry forward that feeling of awkwardness and not knowing what to say in certain situations. So I'm in Europe, and I'm visiting with a friend of the family whom I've never met before, and it's this little apartment in France. And this woman, she's very chic, eh? And I'm not. And so my system's thrown off because of the travel to Europe, and I'm really not keeping track of things. I'm really just trying to get to the dinner table and use the right fork. Okay, this is the level of functioning I'm at here. So I'm sleeping on the couch because it's a very small apartment in Nîmes, and the couch is white. The French. Oh. I mean, that's very chic, eh? Ooh la la. So I wake up in the morning, I'm going, ooh la la, you know? Guess what? My little friend arrived. I guess my friend was more jet-lagged than I was, and sure enough, I'm sorry if this is grossing you out, guys, but there was some menstrual blood on this couch, and I'm telling you, I was horrified. I just thought, how could this happen? How could I, now it's funny, like, how could I lose track of my period? And, you know, I was losing track of everything, of course, because I'm a woman with ADHD. You think I'm going to know when this is happening? I was too disorganized. I was too unfocused. I mean, I couldn't have kept track of a menstrual period at any time. It doesn't matter if you throw jet lag and any of that into it. It was just not going to happen. So I was mortified.
The reason I really you know, I didn't have a problem with your graphic, like a sleeping bag between your legs. And one of the things that I think is powerful about this story is when I listen to this, I've got to, every other female that was your age going through this had an experience. I mean, they felt the same sleeping bag and, you know, maybe not a white couch or whatever, but they had their first time or whatever that it didn't go right. But the thing about this, Zoe, is that if you have ADD and you already feel like things are different and you're pounding on your self-esteem and then this happens, two things to me jump out as going on. Number one is, I got ADD. I mean, you weren't diagnosed, but you got ADD, and you're thinking, I have all these executive functioning things, this organizational things I'm supposed to do to keep track of that, which is difficult to begin with. Then your self-esteem is not so strong. If something like this happens, I got to believe it's like throwing gasoline on the fire emotionally, and it just takes off. Is that accurate? I mean, I just see emotions start to rage out of control.
Oh, heavens. Not just emotionally. I mean, we can talk about the emotions, too, in a minute, but I think I should finish the story, which is that to put people in my shoes, and I know some of the a lot of the listeners probably have been in my shoes. Here I am. My ADHD is not treated. This has happened. I'm horrified. But then, as has happened so many times in my life, I didn't know what the right thing was to do. What do I do? It's like we get frozen emotionally and as far as our thinking, our cognitive processes go. I mean, there are so many times that this brings to mind where I just didn't know which way to turn. What's the right course of action? So I'm looking at this and thinking, should I tell the woman whose apartment I'm staying in? Should I pretend it didn't happen? Is that and not to be irresponsible, you know? People with ADHD are often accused of being irresponsible, but just to be socially acceptable, like, is this the thing that it would be very uncool to talk about?
Yep.
You know, like you just kind of pretend it didn't happen? I don't know. I don't know how to act socially in Canada. How am I going to know how to act en France, right? Like, it was just like layers and layers and layers of awkwardness. Oh, my God. You know? So, yeah, that's part of the emotions, is feeling insecure, low self-esteem, and then the guilt. Whoop. Right? Then that elephant of guilt sits on you and crushes you like, here we go. So you're triggered into all the other times in your life where you screwed up, you don't know why, but it's somehow your fault, and there's that guilt. So I felt guilty. Like one part of me really thought, oh, you must have done this on purpose, right? Like, there's some reason why you did. You know, I mean, it's ludicrous. It's insane. Yeah, so, I mean, okay, I don't know. It's kind of a cliffhanger. Like, if I was listening to this, I'd be going, what did she do? What did you do? Did you tell her? What did you do?
Yeah, well, what'd you do?
It's
what'd
not
you
in
do?
My book.
What?
It's not in my book, so I can tell you.
Hold on. This is radio. I tell you what, let's go to commercial breaks. Everybody, you're going to have to hold out here for a little bit. Be patient. We're going to come back to the cliffhanger. Before we go to a break, everybody, get the Zoe's book, According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus, and Finding Your Keys. Zoe, that... people can get the book. You can Google it or search on Amazon.com and easily purchase it. Also, if you want to learn more about Zoe, just go to her website. That's Zoe Kessler, ZoeKesSler.com. And did I miss anything?
Nope, that sounds good. You got to cut.
All right, so everybody, we'll be right back after these messages, and we'll come back for the cliffhanger.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, Chad and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with Zoe Kessler. Before the break, we were all on the edge of our seat. I mean the edge of our seat for the final ending of your trip to France. So how did it end up?
Yes. All right. I take you back to France where I bled on the couch because I had a period. Because, hey, sue me. I was disorganized and distracted, and I lost track of that thing. So, no, I didn't tell the hostess about it. We were leaving that day, and I do have another good excuse. Her husband and I had a bit of a falling out, so to speak, and I was sort of angry about the whole thing, and okay, yes, I was a coward as well. But that was then, this is now. I'm much more organized, and I know what's going on, so I probably wouldn't have handled it the same way now, but that's what happened then.
That's got to be a story somewhere on the other side of the world that gets told everyone's at a cocktail party.
Part two of my book, maybe. It'll be the sequel, I guess.
She got us back.
Boy, did I. You know, we're talking about the menstrual cycle and the roller coaster and so on, and I know that I've spoken in a previous show about what it was like when I was younger and a teenager, but I think that it's really important, Jeff, to note that for most of a woman's life, we have to deal with this sudden swing in emotions and all the changes that happen to our bodies once a month. And one of the things that happened to me, and I'd love to get into this as well, is in my book, ADHD According to Zoe, I call it day 14. Now, the women who are in the know out there know that day 14 is a time of our monthly cycle when our libido is high. And I know that some women with ADHD have difficulty with a low libido. Guess what? I wasn't one of them. I had pretty healthy libido, and I also had undiagnosed ADHD. So I was impulsive, highly impulsive, and I was insecure. And I lacked self-awareness. Now, I think we can all add that up and know that the conclusion is not going to be very good. Remember, I wasn't diagnosed till I was 47, therefore I wasn't treated until I was 47. So the kinds of experiences I had is exactly why I was so eager to do this show. If you're a woman who thinks you have ADHD, run, don't walk, to your nearest physician or clinic that treats women with ADHD and find out if you do and get the diagnosis, because at that time of the month when your libido is really high and you're acting impulsively and maybe, you know, there's some alcohol and so on involved, there are statistics out there, women, about unplanned pregnancies. We're not talking about the guys here, okay? Boys with ADHD, men with ADHD will suffer consequences from their impulsivity, but it may be an STD, but it is not going to be an unplanned pregnancy. And what we don't hear about is the thing that goes, the corollary to unplanned pregnancies. What does that mean? For a lot of women, it means abortions. You know what? That's just so not a fun topic, but it's a reality for many, many women. And so what I'm trying to say is it's incredibly important not to allow yourself to become one of those statistics, and your hormones and the ineffectiveness of your ADHD treatment will culminate. They'll combine to take you places where even you don't know why you're going. Okay, so this is the serious side of it, and hormones are a very powerful thing, and guys, I wish I knew what to compare it to. Maybe, you know, sometimes I know when men, I mean, our brains are biochemically different, and men get a rush of chemicals maybe when they're watching a certain kind of movie or you know, sports car driving, and some of us women with ADHD are the same way, but you're not going to get pregnant. And it's just such a dangerous combination that again, Jeff, I'm so grateful to you for having this show.
And I just to highlight what you're saying, because you started this at sudden swings in emotion, and I'm seeing like this, what's a quadrifecta or whatever, because you've got one, it's 14th day of your cycle, it's part of the menstrual cycle, and your libido mm-hmm. is a little higher than normal. As a result of it, you have ADD mm-hmm. on top of it, so it's like, okay, we're going to throw a little bit of gasoline on that fire in terms of impulsivity mm-hmm. of ADD. Then, mm-hmm. for a little bit more of a dopamine rush, let's go have a drink on top of that, because sure, why mm-hmm. not? Little is good,
yep.
more is better, might as well keep kind of going. And then the flirtation with other men at that point in time, it's building on each self,
yes.
almost
and
as a train wreck.
The lack of self-awareness, the lack of social skills, I mean, everything comes together to make this a terrible, terrible situation. Insecurity. And I mean, look, a normal female body at that time of the month wants to get pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're animals. Your hormones are saying, okay, you know what? This is a really good time for you to make a baby. Let's go do that. But the woman without ADHD isn't going to go, oh, okay, you know, and the woman with ADHD might give in to that physical, biological urge, but that's because she's got this extra impetus. She's got this extra stuff going on that doesn't allow her to put on the brakes.
Yep.
You know, Dr. Hallowell talks often, and other clinicians, about putting on the brakes, right?
Yep.
Well, yeah, when you're a woman with ADHD, sometimes not being able to do that is an awful thing. And, Jeff, you know, you talked about flirting. I coined the word blurtatious. And that's
been picked up
by a few psychiatrists who work with adults with ADHD, because it's that combination where, yeah, you know, to everybody who's looking at you, you're flirting. But if you have ADHD, as I did, you may actually not be flirting. Now, there's two things about this. When my hormonal shifts happened and my libido was really high, oh, yeah, I was flirting. Oh, yeah, what you see is what's going on. And it wasn't a good thing for my relationships, I can tell you. I mean, this ruined more relationships than I care to mention. And also, it hurt me on a deep soul level, because, you know what, I would just say, you know, that's not who I am. And
yep.
and I had no idea. Remember, I was undiagnosed. I didn't know why I was behaving that way socially. So it was just horrible. But sometimes, if you're in a crowded room, we've got that ADHD. A lot of us have the hypersensitivities, and one of them is auditory. I can't pick out a conversation in a crowd. So I'll corner one person, and then I'll get hyper-focused, and we'll have a conversation while his girlfriend's looking at us going, what the hell, you know?
Yep.
And it looks like I'm flirting, but I'm not.
Yep.
And again, I mean, to bring it around to hormones again, when I had my period and I knew I was extra sensitive emotionally, sometimes I would make the very good decision not to go to social events. And, you know, Dr. Hallowell and I have had great conversations about this, and his whole thing is, you know, if you lack social skills, don't isolate yourself. Get out there and practice, and you'll get better at it. And with all due respect, I adore Dr. Hallowell, as we all do, but you know what? Sometimes, personally, I really think it's a better idea to just stay home and get some popcorn and a movie and keep yourself safe. I mean, for me, I actually did that, because I knew what would happen if I was anywhere near a drink, you know?
Yep.
It was just going to, like you said, the lid was just going to blow, and I knew from the past that was not a good situation. So, but remember, I wasn't treated for ADHD, so I was coping the best way I could then. Now, we know, you know, exercise, medication
yep.
works for a lot of us.
Yep.
and so on. Educate yourself. Listen to more talk radio, you know? Attention talk radio, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I got just a couple comments, and I want to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the menstrual cycle, just day-to-day life in terms of being organized and being in business and that type of stuff. But before we do, a couple things. One, for those listening out there, I know we've done some shows before in the past on the impact of ADHD on sex and intimacy, and one of the things, there's not a lot of research out there on it, but one of the things that I've heard or I understand is that for some with ADHD, they have maybe a higher libido than average, but for others, they have a much lower libido than average. And we've done some shows talking about distractibility, actually people being distracted, and some women not actually having an orgasm for the first time until they took stimulant medication. So if you're somebody out there who falls in that bucket, know that there's the other side of that. Plus, one of the things that you were talking about a second ago with Dr. Hollowell and the social thing is I do think that, yes, getting out there and practice is good, but what I think was really important about what you said, Zoe, is you go back to this trifecta. If it's the 14th day of the month in your cycle and your primitive brain is already saying, okay, let's have a baby, and you have ADD on top of it, and you go to a social situation and you have a drink, and then there's men that are there flirting with you, sometimes it's just better just to resist that temptation and say, on the 14th, one day a month, I'll stay home. And I think that was a real, that's real good balance between those two and something for everybody to think about. As a reminder to everybody, Zoe's book, ADHD, According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus, and Finding the Keys. Look for it on Amazon.com and her website. To learn more about her, go to Zoe, Z-O-E, Kessler, K-E-S-S-L-E-R. And with that, we'll be right back up to these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an Edge coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation. Zoe Kessler here. ADHD, the menstrual cycle roller coaster. And so far, what I've learned is it's quite a roller coaster. Not being a female, I'm sure I can imagine what it's like, and it's nothing like what I imagined. We've talked a little bit about a lot of stuff with the menstrual cycle, but one of the things we haven't kind of touched on to me is that you have these hormonal changes on a regular basis, and then you have your ADHD on top of it, but somewhere in life you got to get up and you got to go to work and you got meetings to organize and stuff like that, and you got emotional situations. Just day in and day out, the grind of the menstrual cycle and ADHD, can you tell us about your experience with that?
Oh, absolutely, Jeff. In fact, there's a couple other points I want to touch on, and one of them was what happens to you when you're a young adult and an older woman who, as you say, is going out to work. A lot of women with ADHD, as the men, are entrepreneurs, and I as well ran my own business and continue to work as a writer for myself. But when I was running other businesses, because I became more aware of what was going on around my monthly cycle, I had to be pretty darn careful about scheduling meetings, for example, even important phone calls. I knew that as a woman with ADHD, I struggled with self-confidence. Well, you can't be struggling with self-confidence when you're making a sales call, when you're making a presentation. And so, you know, we don't recover from ADHD. We have it for life. So in that sense, we always factor it in. We treat it. We make sure we're on top of it. If you're a woman with ADHD, in addition to that, you've got to manage what's going on with you every month. And if your mood swings are heightened at that time, You don't want to be breaking into tears when you're making a sales pitch. You really don't in a boardroom. You don't want to be late for that meeting because as hard as we all work to with our time management and to get to places on time, forget it. If I have my period, I mean, it was just too much, you know? And I had lower self-confidence. So I decided that in order to increase my chance of success, I would really follow very carefully when the time of the month was when I was at my best. And again, it's a real challenge because we're talking about more logistics, more organization, but it had to be done. It had a big impact.
More executive functioning required to manage around the areas where you struggle with executive functioning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you've got to be very, very careful about your scheduling and what sorts of tasks. I mean, there are some tasks that entrepreneurs do, and especially myself as a writer, where I have to be at home hunkered down in my home office and working on my own. But there are times when you have to be out there. And if you're going to a job, I think that's another – I mean, a lot of women also work for others. So – one of the things I would say is really do keep track of what's going on with your monthly fluctuations. Develop that self-awareness and especially notice which symptoms are being heightened around that time of the month. And this really segues nicely into the next thing I wanted to raise that we haven't really named the way I'd like to name it. Jeff, I know you've had so many wonderful guests on Attention Talk Radio. I know you have, and I love your show. And you've had clinicians talk about ADHD and depression.
Yep.
And, of course, the research shows
yep.
that women can tend to be diagnosed erroneously. They don't have depression, but that's the diagnosis when all along it was an underlying ADHD without clinical depression, or they have both.
Yep.
Now, I can tell you, as a woman who had very bad PMS every month, even as a child, my mood was very low and my self-esteem went down, and I felt sometimes suicidal and like a failure and unworthy. As an adult with it, I discovered a book about PMS. It was way back in 87, and it talked about this pseudo-depression. And I started to put the pieces together, and I thought, okay. And again, here's that self-awareness coming in. I made a big point of noticing when I started to feel low, when I started to I mean, it was like I would wake up one day and these little malevolent fairies sucked all my self-esteem out of myself, out of me, out of my brain. And I woke up and I went, uh-oh, like I don't even feel confident enough to get out of bed today.
Uh-huh.
But once I realized that this absolutely coincided with my monthly cycle, and I knew it lasted 3 to 5 days, when I got hit with that, wham, I said to myself, I actually started doing this self-talk where instead of saying, oh, I'm so ugly and nobody likes me and I can't, you know, I don't have any friends, nobody loves me, I started saying, Zoe, this will last 3 days and then it will be over. You're going to be okay. And I just told myself over and over again, you know what? And it's amazing how that was able to help me ride out that low period, and therefore I was more productive because I didn't have all that negativity. It's just like educating yourself about your ADHD and how that affects you.
What you just said is just absolutely brilliant. The self-talk of three, this is going to last 3 days and I'm going, it all will be good.
You know what? It was. It wasn't hard. It wasn't like an affirmation where, you know, I tell you, Jeff, sometimes I have trouble with affirmations, right? I am a nonfiction writer, okay?
Yep.
I mean, affirmations are great, but this was an affirmation. This was a self-talk. This was a message that was true, and I had evidence of it each and every month of my adult life, okay? I knew that it would just as quickly as it came overnight, I knew that when 3 days was up, I knew I'd feel better. I knew this cloud would lift. I could trust that.
I just have to, as a coach myself, I do spend a lot of time working with people. Let's just focus on what works first. And then we'll deal with we'll kind of manage self-esteem stuff a little bit later, which I don't know a lot of people really kind of do that. But my deal is if we focus on what works and you can begin to rely on things that work, as time goes on, it makes it easier for you to let certain things go. And with what you've described, and I don't know if this makes any sense, though, you'd have to comment, but if you were like a woman, you just had your emotional meter every day and you scaled it and you marked your menstrual cycle, you might actually be able to see a parallel that, you know, your emotional mood, you know, I was more depressed or emotion, you know, whatever that scale is on around certain times of the month. The cool part about that is it actually becomes a fact, and I think it becomes a lot easier for you to get through the emotion by saying, hey, the reality of it is the last 50 times when I get into these 3 days, it passes. It seems to me it would give you a lot more confidence to get over it. So you're not really accepting it. You're just realizing it's a fact. It's just a cycle that I'm going through.
Absolutely. That is perfect, and I do want to comment because I know as a coach, and I totally agree with your approach in terms of what's working, what are the tools that work for you. But as a woman, I can say that the quality of our emotional lives has a tremendous impact on our time management, on our organization, on our ability to make those sales, to make those calls. And so it is very, very practical. I think that until we address our emotional foundation, this is for men and women, by the way, I don't know particularly if any kind of coping strategies are really going to be as effective as they could and should be. I really don't. Because if I don't believe in myself, at what point do I abandon my organizational tips, you know? So to get back to this, you can, as you keep saying, you can pour gasoline on the fire by feeding into that hormonally fueled depression, and things get worse and worse and worse, and all of a sudden maybe you did book a meeting, you go in, you totally screw it up. Oh, well, now you've just proven that you're a failure. Or you can say to yourself very practically, this is going to last 3 to 5 days. Well, guess what? All of a sudden you do feel better. It's amazing. And you might feel well enough that you'll take on more and you will be more productive. You know, you will scale things accordingly. The word dysthymia is a very important word as well, because if you think through your thoughts once a month you are suicidal, you're that depressed that you feel you have no value at all to offer the world, and I have. I've done this month in and month out, and I'll tell you, this is the part where I'm going to cry. You don't have to feel like that. And until you learn to counteract that by saying, this isn't bona fide depression. I'm not going to kill myself. That's a scary thought. You know, you say, nope, this is a milder kind of thing. It's not clinical depression. It's called dysthymia. It's hormonally induced. Ride it out 3 to 5 days. And I'll tell you, my moods don't go as low. Now they don't go anywhere because that's part three of our series. Right? Okay, let me rephrase that. Sorry, that was a little bit of foreshadowing. Anyway, back in the day when I had periods, this was amazing to managing that scary, scary, scary feeling. I knew I wasn't going to kill myself, and I knew I wasn't clinically depressed, and I knew I wasn't suicidal.
What was the word? I had a period. Dysphoria? You say it was dysphoria?
Dysthymia. Dysthymia.
That.
Oh, dysphoria. Yeah.
D-Y-S-T-H-Y-M-I-A.
Oh, and here's another thing. Okay, in my first book, Adoption Reunions, I talked about two things when I didn't even know I had ADHD. I talked about feeling glad that I wasn't an alcoholic and given to substance abuse, and I talked about having this mild, low-grade depression. And sure enough, I had ADHD the whole time. Anyway, whatever. It was amazing.
Wow.
So there's so much for women to cope with.
I don't think this will work for everybody, but I do want there that notion of if you are a female out there and you have ADHD and you're going through a cycle, maybe because we do this a lot of time to help those with ADD time, that is to predict how long they're going to take to do something, then they do it, and then they check the variance. So they actually write the things down so that they can begin to see it as a coach. Sometimes I'll say, let's take a look at all the stuff that you predicted right and all the things that you were off on and try to understand those differences. But would it make some sense literally for women out there to actually have like a every day they rate their emotions, their mood, and or level of maybe irritability just every day, not even look at the calendar, just do it for like maybe 90 days and then take the menstrual cycle and overlap it and just see if there's any – graphically almost, if there's any ebbs and flows, because it seems to me that for some, if some of the depression and some of the things you've described are cyclical to you, you would actually see the hard facts just by doing that exercise every day. Again,
aww.
I'm not sure it works for everybody.
You're so great. You're obviously a coach. I'm gonna invert that because you're so wonderful. I'm gonna invert that from my, and I'm not being facetious at all. Like, I love
please.
That idea. I really do. But honestly, as far as I've come with my ADHD, I'm not sure that keeping track of something like that each and every day would be my forte. And I'm not suggesting others don't try it. Absolutely, go ahead and try it. But for me, what would work really, really well is when I do get those low moods to track them. And then over several months, we would achieve the same results. Over several months, I'd look back and I'd go, oh, my God, I was really low and insecure, and I said that stupid, crazy thing on the 14th of the month every month or what have you. So I would start tracking my really bad days, and I'm sure the results would be the same.
And, and I'm really glad you said that because it emphasizes one thing. As I said when I was describing my thought, is I'm not so sure it would work for everybody. And the way you explained it, Zoe, made all the sense in the world to me, and the reason it would work for you, and that's why I emphasize out there, is don't listen to what I said necessarily or what Zoe, but use it to spur your own thought to figure out the way to track it and figure it out your own way, because whatever we said might not work for you, but there's a way that would work for you. And I have to emphasize
and guess
that
what?
Everybody.
The beauty of this, what we're talking about here as well, is that it's not just a cognitive exercise. It's not a memory exercise. It's not a self-awareness. You're bleeding. Hello. You are interacting with your body in a different way. So we've got that very visceral, physical, you know, marker that goes, oh, my God, I was really depressed yesterday, and guess what? Today I have my, you know, I got my period. Hello.
Touche.
So write that down, right? So
Absolutely. So I need to wrap this up. Any final comments, Zoe?
Oh, man. Yes. All of this is highly, highly manageable. Don't let yourself become one of the abysmal statistics of women with ADHD, which is partially driven by our hormonal swings, you know, poor relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Get hold of it. Get hold of my book, ADHD According to Zoe. I talk about these things in it, and you're going to do great.
You are, absolutely. So, everybody, Zoe, thank you so much for coming on the show. As a reminder, her book, ADHD According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus, and Finding Your Car Keys, or just keys. Go to ZoeKessler.com to learn more. And again, Zoe, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
Catch us, everybody, next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.